Tonight, I want to talk to you about Romans, not Romans, Proverbs chapter 3, and just kind of do a running commentary of Proverbs chapter 3. When I first started here, I could even hear the pages of the Bibles turning. I don't hear much now, but in today's time, some folks look up Proverbs chapter 3 in their Bible. Some people look it up on their tablet. Some people look it up on their smartphone. Wherever it is, it's the Word of God, and we're to use it, apply it to our hearts, to believe God for what He says, and learn from His Word. So tonight, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you now, we thank you for your goodness and mercy towards us. Father, I pray for the right spirit, the right attitude. I pray for your guidance in what I say. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in our hearts, help us to draw close to you, to love you, to serve you, to be obedient to you, and give you all the praise and glory. We ask for your help now in Christ's name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 3, we see, my son, forget not my law. Solomon wrote this Solomon wrote these Proverbs, and his Proverbs are a guideline for us to live by today. A lot of what he says is relatively easy to understand, but who is he writing to? He says, my son. I got to thinking about that just a little bit, and the children of Israel were God's chosen people, and he was writing to the nation of Israel there. But he was also writing to us. The Holy Spirit of God inspired Solomon to write this. And as we think about being sons, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ are the sons of God. That is stated over and over in the Bible. We're in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we need to examine ourselves today to be sure that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've repented of our sins, that we're the sons of God. So being the sons of God, God takes interest in us to teach us and train us in his word and how to please him and how to serve him. Solomon in Proverbs here is doing that for us. He says, forget not my law. Forget not. Can you forget anything that you have not already learned? If you don't know it, you can't forget it. So part of what that means is, we need to study, we need to pay attention and learn all that God has for us to know, and that we don't forget it. Sometimes the easiest thing in the world to forget is what God would have us to do, have his guidance for our life and all that. We forget to ask him. We forget to stop and wait a minute. What would God have us to do? Solomon says, forget not. Forget not his counsel. Forget not his instructions, his doctrine. And forget not means also that it's not so much a duty and a drudgery to obey God, but we do it out of our love for him. Christ shed his blood on the cross for us. He loved us. He saved us. We should serve him out of love and not out of duty and, having to do it. This thought just crossed my mind a while ago. Why is it that Patsy will do all the stuff that she does for me, it's because she loves me. She does way more than duty requires. She loves me. She does all that because of love. Why do I put up with her? Because of I love her. That's why. Really, after 50 years, we can pick at one another a little bit. That's okay. Forget not my law. God's law is holy. His commandment is holy. The law is good. That's in Romans 7 and verse 12. So we can use God's law to kind of guide and direct our lives. We're told to forget not God's law. But if you look at the other side, Proverbs is a lot of contrast. It'll tell you the positive and then tell you the negative. Well, in Psalm 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So we don't want to forget God, do we? Proverbs 50 and verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver. So we certainly want to remember God in all that we do. In Proverbs 3 and verse 1, my son, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. The heart is the inner being. It's the inner being of our life. The heart is where all of our emotions and thoughts and actions come from. It comes from the heart. Not this old muscle inside of me that's got a metal piece of metal in here keeping me alive, but the heart, the inner man, is what Solomon's talking about here. But let thine heart keep my commandments. I had a pastor one time. I think this was his favorite verse in the whole Bible. Jeremiah 17:9. I must have heard it 1,000 times. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wow. That was our heart before we got saved. In Mark 7 and verse 20, God goes into more detail, and he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile man. You see why God has to give us a new heart, why we have to be willing to go to God and confess our sins and ask him to save us and give us a new heart. He promises us a new heart. Even in the Old Testament, he promised a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. In verse 27, he says, I will put my spirit within you. So God will give us a new heart whenever we ask him. And Solomon is reminding us, but let our hearts keep his commandments. Keep is obedience. We're to be obedient. Keep God's word. It's being obedient to the word of God. Solomon tells us to keep my commandments. Keep the Lord's commandments. It's growing in God's grace. It's growing as a Christian. It's set apart. Someone set apart for God's use learns and grows and keeps God's commandment. They're obedient to God's word. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. How is it that we know we love one another. I'm gonna tell on me and my family a little bit. We don't run around telling one another all the time we love you and then ignore you. Like I said, I'm going to tell on us. We don't use the word love a whole lot. But how do we know we love one another? It's by our actions. It's by how I treat Patsy, how I treat my boys. And you can say, well, you're just kind of crazy there. But we don't use the word love a lot. But our love is shown by our actions. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's easy to say, I love God, and then do like Solomon said, forget. We turn around, we forget, it's all over. I think I heard this morning that this is a loving church. I agree. I think this church loves one another. There's a good spirit of unity. There's care one for another. And just a good attitude here, and I appreciate that. But if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. Then the last part of that verse says, or verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I don't know how to judge long life, because wicked people live long lives too. But I feel like I'm on sudden death overtime. And some of y'all are on too, because if it wasn't for stents that goes in your arteries and heart valves that go inside of me, I'd have been history 11 years ago. So I'm on sudden death overtime. God's given me some extra time. And I want to be faithful for the duration. I've heard our pastor say he wants to be faithful to the end. I really believe all of you want to be faithful to the end, however long life is. But Solomon is writing to his son, and as a general statement, people that obey God's word live longer because they don't have all the drugs and the alcohol and all those other things to deal with. I can't tell you that if you obey God's word 100%, you're going to live a long life. I can't tell you that. But as a general rule, people that obey God live longer. Let's see. That this long life is mentioned in a couple of other places too. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That was the Old Testament promise for long life. New Testament in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Talking about long life, does that sound familiar to one of the commandments? As I was reading about long life, there's one of the Ten Commandments that specifically gives the promise of long life. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Old Testament. New Testament says, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth.
Amen.
That's something to consider. As I look around and talk to people here, I know people that have tended to parents. Well, let me back up. Children should be obedient to their parents. When they're living at home, they should be obedient. They should honor their parents and learn from them, help them out, wash the clothes, do the dishes. When I was little, I'm not joking, when I was littler than y'all, 11 or 12 or 10, we couldn't go outside on Sunday till I washed the dishes. Couldn't go out. But that's another story. Children, obey your parents. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and mother. I know people in this very church that have tended to their parents for quite a while. Maybe even changed jobs, changed locations to take care of their parents. God honors that. He says so right here in his word. He honors that. And I'm thankful for the example that you've set. It's not easy. I can tell you, I'm not bragging. We tended to my daddy with my mom living for years. And then after dad died, we tended to my mom. It's not easy, but it's something that God honors. And I've seen it in a lot of other people too. So the word of God is just practical. Every day, down to earth, living peacefully and graciously with one another. Long life. Oh, being the mean, hateful guy that I am, I found some other verses too. You know how serious God takes that? If you want to look it up, it's Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17. If you smite your father or mother, kill them. Death penalty. If you put a curse on them, death penalty. And even, just to show you, I just stumbled on these verses. If I'm a mean, hateful, rebellious child, and I refuse to obey my parents. Back in the Old Testament, I'm glad we're not in Old Testament days. Back in the Old Testament, father and mother could grab that guy if he was a drunkard, so he must have had some age on him, you know, early 20s or something. Grab that guy and haul him down to the city council and say, this is our son, and he's mean and wicked and disobedient and drunkard. They would say, okay. And stone him to death. I mean, it's there. This is a serious commandment. Along with all of God's word is serious. But this one in particular, as I was studying this, that kind of jumped out at me how serious this is. And one thing I learned, no matter how old I was, my daddy was still my daddy and he was always right. And my mom was always my mom, and she was always sweet and kind and helpful and gentle and all those kinds of things. So tending to parents is not the easiest thing in the world, but God rewards that. He really does. He also, let's see, where are we? We're in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. This word peace is more than just calm and peace and peaceful things, but it's a wide-ranging blessing. This peace in the Hebrew included a state of well-being, good health, prosperity, contentment, security, harmonious relationships. All of that is included in the word peace. And Solomon says here in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add thee. If we're obedient to God's word, it'll give us some peace of heart, some peace of mind. And and a blessing and health and strength. And I know as we get older, our bodies fall apart. If y'all hadn't figured that out yet, they will. As we get older, they'll fall apart and cause all kinds of trouble. But peace will be, we'll have peace from being obedient with God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. With Jesus in our lives and trusting Him and believing on Him and serving Him, will add peace to our hearts and our life. He is the Prince of Peace. So if you haven't trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have peace. Peace of God comes through Christ. In verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This mercy and truth, it refers to loving kindness. Mercy one toward another is loving kindness. I guess to my way of thinking is we cut one another a little bit of slack. If you don't think exactly like me, that's okay. You can be wrong, but that's okay. I'll cut you some slack. I'll live peaceably with you as much as I can. But let not mercy and truth depart from us. Live peaceably one with another. And the word of God is truth. If God says it, it's true. Amen. So we need to remember that and take God's word for what He says. Then we have some very... I need to cover this right here. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So I read across that and studied a little bit. I thought about Joseph. Joseph was a man that was not well liked by his brothers, and he was sold into slavery. Well, think about this. When he got to Egypt and became Potiphar's servant, what position in the servants was he? He worked his way right to the top. God gave him favor with Potiphar. And then he got lied about and tossed into prison. And where did he end up? Right, helping the jailer. And he interpreted the dreams and got forgotten about for a couple of years and then remembered, and he got promoted again. God gave him favor in the sight of Potiphar, in the sight of the jailer, and in the sight of Pharaoh. God gave him favor. He rose to the second in command. You ever think that God gives you favor on the job with your boss or whoever because of the way you live? I'm convinced more and more that God is active in the affairs of men. He's working things out, and I've been blessed more than I can imagine. But Joseph received favor from God and man. Daniel was another one. He was captured as a young boy and taken over to Babylon, and he was going to be trained in all the learning of the Chaldeans, and he respectfully requested not to eat the king's meat, but he wanted vegetables, I guess, whatever he could eat. But he respectfully requested, and he worked his way up, and what? He was second in command in there too. He was high up on the chain of command. God gave him favor. So Joseph and Daniel both were, even in bad circumstances, they were faithful to God. They were obedient to God's commands. And they found favor with man and with God. Then I'm about out of time. I want to These verses, next verses, are very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes I wish you'd just call me up on the phone and say, hey, boy, this is what I want you to do. It's not that simple. So we need to learn as much of his word as we can. We need to pray as much as we can. We need to be obedient as much as we can. Part I didn't get to was about the verse 10 or verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. It seems like the more you give away, the less you have, but it doesn't work that way. You give, God will give back. And that is a subject that's not brought up much in this church. I'm thankful that our pastor doesn't have to get up here and cry and beg and plead. We got a broke air conditioner. If y'all don't get off of some money, we're going to burn up in here. We don't have to do that because of God, your faithfulness, and because of the way the pastor leads to do the budget and save the money and be prepared for emergencies. So many of you have learned this truth about giving. Give and it'll be given you. In the New Testament, give and it'll be given you. What is that, Luke 6? So we won't jump up, down, scream, and holler about giving. But Proverbs is written for our understanding. It's written for our benefit to learn God's word, to learn how to get along with one another. So let me encourage you. Be faithful to God. Do what he says. Believe him. Do you believe him enough? One example here is to give. Do you believe him enough to give your money? Do you believe him enough to give your time? Sometimes you have to turn down really good offers for work. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I thought about Lot. Had an opportunity to increase his wealth by going to the well-watered plains. And what did it cost him? Everything. So my point is this. Believe God. Trust in his word. Be obedient. Keep his word. Seek his guidance. And let him lead us in all that we do. And that's all I know for tonight. Pastor.